have. I've missed all of you. And it was a wonderful trip. We have an incredibly beautiful country, and it was a joy to be able to drive from one side to the other, from north to south. I got into Canada. My apologies for not having sent pictures. I promised we were going to give you a travelogue. We had too many things going on, and I couldn't quite get it done. So I didn't, and I apologize for that. But I hope at some point we're going to give you a 5-minute video of all of the 10,000 pictures that Debbie took along the way. There'll be stills, but when the stills are all compressed, why, it'll be about a 5 or 10 minute video. It was a wonderful time, a beautiful country. God was present. All of our relationships from different corners of our lives, and just reminded us of God's loving care that walks with us in our lives. Sometimes at any one point we wonder. Sometimes it feels like we're walking alone. But maybe it's one of the benefits of being, I changed years while I've seen you, being 73 and being able to look back and see what God has done and see God's faithfulness in using people, gathering them around us. So thank you for being some of those people. This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 32, and I can't begin to do justice to this psalm. It has to live in you. You got to think about it. You got to just let it infuse who you are. But let me ask you to stand while I read Psalm 32 and welcome you to follow along with me. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I keep silent or kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. That's the word of the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning and ask that we might hide in Christ Jesus, that you would bless us because we've hidden in him. Instruct us this morning, not just to our ears or our heads, but to our hearts, our actions, our desires. Walk with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. If you didn't sort of gather it from my time with the children, I want to focus on a very small part of the psalm, hiding. It shouldn't come as a surprise to you, right? Hiding. But I only talked about one part of hiding with the kids, and that is that we sometimes hide from. But there's another meaning that is here for us in the psalm, and I also want to look at that, and that's the hiding in. So the sort of black cloth that covered my face, I was hidden in that, but clearly everybody, all the children, all of you could see me. And it's pretty silly when we think we can hide. So the question is, when Scripture speaks of both hiding from and hiding in, what is it giving to us? What is the picture that it paints for us? And what should it do for us? We sometimes hide our weaknesses. Sometimes we don't want people to see our weakness. We believe somehow that, you know, projecting a strong image is the most important thing to do. So we hide our weakness. Sometimes we hide our strengths. You say, well, why would anybody hide their strength? Well, the reason we sometimes hide our strengths is because sometimes we're afraid somebody will ask us to use it, and we may not be very willing to use it. So, you know, sometimes we got to sort of think of, oh, yeah, I don't want anybody to know that I can do this because I might be asked to do it. So we are found, in a sense, to be hiding and seeking with each other. And we do that not only when we're children, but we do that when we're adults. And that represents one of the most difficult places of our spiritual journey. When we hide in the wrong way, when we seek in the wrong way, and when we hide the wrong things instead of revealing those things. So this psalm opens up for us hiding and seeking. And I simply want you to look at that. Let's look at it and open it up slowly. First of all, there's this hiding from others. And that's, of course, what happens when children play hide-and-seek when grandparents play hide-and-seek with their grandchildren. I'm hiding from you, but I don't really want to not be seen. My grandchildren don't really want to be gone from me very long. The fun is in the finding. And that's why it's a fun game, because the fun is in the finding. And we want the person to find, and we want to be found. We don't want to just somehow fall out of it. But we do, as we grow up, as we grow older, we tend to hide from others. We hide our sicknesses. We hide our struggles. We hide our intentions. We hide these things. Well, why do you hide them? Ask yourself that question. Why do you hide those things? Are you afraid that others might judge you if they knew what you were thinking? Are you afraid that others might pity you if they knew what you were struggling with? What is it really that is in the heart desire when we hide something from other people? What is it? I've already spoken a little bit. When we hide a gift, maybe we don't want to share it with anybody. I confess I overstepped this morning when I drew attention to a certain bag, because it might be, if a child has something in a certain bag, that the sense is, if anybody sees what's in my bag, they may want something of that bag. And so maybe I don't want my bag to be seen, or I don't want the contents to be seen. We do that as adults. And when we do that, then that process of hiding eventually dries us up. That's what the text tells us. We are dried up. And it's like burying money. You can't use a buried treasure. It becomes and belongs then to somebody else. Let me give an example of it. I think I may have mentioned this before, but when we rehabbed the house next door to us, it was a junk trove. I mean, it was 3.5-4 stories of junk. The man that had owned it had just used it as a put place, and he hid all kinds of stuff. And we were cleaning it out and throwing almost all of it in the dumpster because there was nothing else. There was nothing of value in it. And at one point, there was a cat carrier, you know, just a little box that you carry cats in. And it was really heavy, super heavy. And so we sort of opened it up to see what was in it. It was a bunch of junk jewelry, which, of course, is heavy. But at one point, started opening all the little bags, all the little things that were in that were holding those junk pieces together. And what would you know, there were actually some real gems in it. And the person who was emptying that cat carrier out came to one and did this with it, and out on the floor drops these coins that the person had never seen before. And when I saw them, I recognized immediately what they were. They were Krugerrands. Now, if you don't know much about investment, a Krugerrand doesn't make any sense to you. Some of you are saying, uh-huh, some of you are saying, uh-uh. It's a gold coin. It's a solid gold coin that comes from South Africa. And as those bags got dumped out, there were seven solid gold coins. A treasure hidden inside of a cat bin that was full of junk. Now, you just figure that out. But I'll tell you what happened. The person who hid it didn't get any value out of it. The person who found it did. So sometimes we hide treasures. And you just want to say, why didn't I use that? Why didn't I spend it for God's glory? There could have been so much more. And you remember the story that Jesus told, the parable Jesus told, of the men who were the stewards who were given gifts of gold. And one went and buried it. He was challenged by the master when he came back. Why didn't you at least invest it? Invest it somehow so that you had something. But no, you just buried it. It's useless. And so when we bury our treasures, it doesn't do us any good. But even our sins aren't intended to be buried. Because when we bury them, it causes us to do exactly what I described to the children. We're standing in the corner, hoping nobody will find us. And we're standing so stiff and so still with our sins upon us that our knees begin to creak and our feet begin to lose their circulation. That's simply what the psalmist is saying. When I don't speak to God that which is true of me, my bones are affected. It's a pretty rich picture, actually. So we not only hide from others, but we often hide from ourselves. And that's the next thing I want you to see. Verse 3. Take a look at verse 3. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. It's not only when we're hiding from others, but when we hide from ourselves. Sometimes we say, well, it's not really who I am. We hide who we really are. And we give an impression, or we want to give an impression, of who we really are. So we paint a picture of ourselves. We do things. We say things. We go places. We dress in certain ways so that people might have this sense of who we are. And sometimes we start to believe our own identity. It's not hard to look around the world and see how that happens. Now, politically, we find it all the time. Look at the Ukrainian war right now. Zelensky. He wears a combat-type T-shirt all the time. That's his trademark. You don't see him in any picture. Now, he must have 15 or 20 of those things. They all look alike because every time you see him, he's got the same shirt on. It's an image that he's projecting. But if you've studied, read anything, then you know he started out as a comedian. It's not a very funny picture right now. But he's painting a picture for us. He knows how to do that. Who is he really? Well, most of the world probably doesn't know. He dresses the same. He dresses apart. He speaks apart. He lets people see things as he wants to see them. We all do that. And when we do that, we are actually, or many times, we're hiding from ourselves. We're not just hiding from others. We're actually hiding. We hide our sinful thoughts. We hide our actions. We hide our words. I don't think I said that. Well, maybe that was an exaggeration. You see what happens? We constantly, when we're defending our thoughts or our actions or our words, when somebody confronts us about it, we look for a way to dodge it and get around it. Say, well, no, that's not really what I meant. But often what has come out of our mouths, what has come out of our hearts, what's come out of our action is exactly what I meant. But when I'm confronted with it, I don't want to admit it. I would rather be somebody else. So we tend to hide from ourselves. We hide from God. You know, we sort of think, well, if others don't see, maybe God doesn't see either. Right? You know, we have the classic text in scriptures in Genesis of that. God tells Adam and Eve what to do in the garden. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Don't eat of that tree. The serpent comes and says, oh, what's wrong with that tree? The fruit looks good, doesn't it? And actually it tastes good too. And God knows that when you eat it, you'll actually become wiser like him. So it'd be a good thing to do. Go ahead and try it. And they tried it. And they were shamed. And what did they do in their shame? They'd been walking, enjoying the presence of God in the garden. And now in their shame, they run and hide from God as if a bush can cover what had happened. They put that black cloth over their head. Was that silly or what? Like God couldn't see through the bush. Was God, the God who made the garden, was he so dumb, so dense, that he couldn't see them? No, obviously he could see them. So some people ask the question, well, God must not have been able to see them. He must not be real because he came and he asked a silly question. And the question is, where are you? Well, if I'd have asked any of these kids, where am I? Do you think any one of them would have said, we don't know, we can't see you? I mean, it's so obvious. So God didn't ask that question, Adam, where are you, so that Adam and Eve would be like my grandchildren hiding in the closet or behind the door saying, I'm back here, I'm behind the door. No, he asked the question because he wanted Adam and Eve to look inside their own hearts. So reframe that question. Adam, where are you now? What happened to you? We used to walk. You used to be free. You used to be empowered in everything I'd given to you. Where are you now? What happened to you? When we try to hide from God, that's exactly what happens. All the goodness, all the blessedness that this psalm starts out with is removed from us. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. We're hiding. We can't have that transgression forgiven, and we don't get the blessedness. So God's question comes to Adam, and it comes to you. Where are you now? What's happening in your heart? You say, well, I don't want to admit it. I don't want to admit it to the people sitting in front of me, the people sitting behind me. I don't want to admit it to myself. But I have to admit it to God at some point, don't I? I have to say to God what it is that's in my heart. If I don't, I lose the blessing that he's promised to give to me. So the result of hiding that this text verses give to us very clearly, my bones wasted away. Night and day your hand was heavy upon me. I have dried up. My strength is dried up like the heat of summer. One of the things that happened in my van, our van, it's not mine, while we drove, I'd spent hours, not days, but hours, making the inside of it nice, putting some nice material on the side of it so it looked nice. It didn't look like a funny old cargo van that we were rattling around in. And the first time I put the material on it, it peeled off. I thought, well, I need a better glue. So I found a better glue and I glued it on better, stronger. And as we went through the desert, as we went through Montana and the jiggling of the van and the heat that came down on the van, all of those pieces of cloth started to peel off. If you look at it now, it's a mess. It's outside. You can see it. It's a mess. All my hard work is gone because the heat of the summer peeled it off. It dried it up. And that's what happens when we don't confess our sins to Christ. We are peeled off. We are dried up. the veneer that's over us that ought to make us look good looks worse. Yeah, just think about that. I try to hide my sin from God and from you. I don't want anybody to see it because I'm afraid of what I'll look like. I'm afraid people will know that there's just a veneer. But when the heat of summer comes, it peels off. And the consequence is a worse mess than if I hadn't done anything. Just let the white walls of the van be the white walls of the van. Forget about trying to put a piece of cloth over it because it's all peeled off. That's the consequence that God says in this psalm happens when I hide from God, when I conceal, when I don't want him or anybody else to see my weaknesses, to see the things that I struggle with. But there's an option. There's an alternative, and this psalm gives us the alternative. It's not just what happens when I hide. It's what happens when I hide in. And what I hide in is in Christ. I don't hide in myself. Let me clear up again some of these things that we don't do. Now, we can't preserve ourselves. So, and that's one reason for hiding some things. I wore a mask for the kids because I wanted to protect them from my cold germs. So I hid. I'm still broadcasting them. I'm sorry. Don't get close to me. but isn't that one of the reasons why we wear a mask? And it's to protect others. And it's a real factor that we have struggled with as a nation over these last couple of years. Are we going to protect others? Well, hiding does protect something. And there's something that we need to protect. We need to protect each other. Sometimes I need to protect myself. But if we hide, I have to recognize I can't really protect myself. My sin, if I protect my sin and my failures and the things that I think about, the things that I say, the things I don't want to do, my lack of passion, let me try to protect that. Let me try to put a veneer on it. I can't protect it. It's going to come out. If you've been reading your newspapers, it's all you see. You try to hide it, and it comes out. Whatever your political views are, when you start to look at what's happened over the last 10 years in politics, it's like, well, I thought I could hide it here. No, it was found out. I thought I could hide it over here. No, it was found out. I thought I could box it up and put it in here. No, it's found out. Inevitably, we are found out. It happens. And so it is, we can't protect ourselves. We try to hide in others. We hide in a mass identity to think, well, everybody's doing it. Yeah, just think for a minute, again, of how impractical that is. So whatever anybody thought about in the intrusion on the Capitol, January 6th, whatever they thought about being there, it's now been demonstrated that many of those individuals couldn't hide in the crowd. They have been found out. And many of them are now experiencing sentences, jail sentences, for what they did. They couldn't hide in the group. We can't hide in a crowd. We cannot just take on the identity of a crowd and believe that that's going to somehow protect us from the consequences. Yes, we are a part. We're a part of each other. We belong to each other. We're known to the world as Grace Reformed Presbyterian Church. And you can pull out of that and say, no, I don't want to be a part of those people anymore. People have done that. What happens? Well, okay, I'm going to take on a new identity. I'm going to go someplace else. But when I go someplace else, I go with everything that was a part of me when I was identifying with a certain body. I didn't change me. I've just changed the pew I sit in. And so I go someplace else. But me, the me that was there, is still the same me. So the group doesn't actually change me. But my absence or my presence might change the group. And so what happens when God says, listen, I have my people, and I want my people to be a representation of who I am in the world around. And that's what this psalm is about, that we would be a reflection to the world around us. because of who we collectively are. But I can't just hide in others. The place that I have to hide, and what gives us an identity as a church, is that we hide in Christ. Now, what does it mean to hide in Christ? It's clear enough what it means to hide from, I hope. We can put something over our heads. We can say different words. There's a lot of ways we can go into a different room. We can even, sometimes, we go to a different place. But we haven't hidden. So when I hide in Christ, it's not my image that I'm hiding. It's my failures that I'm hiding. It's my sin that I'm hiding. I'm not simply taking on a physical image of Jesus Christ. Whether I wear a garment that looks like the garment I think he wore. Imagine if we did that. We all came in the kind of robes that we think Jesus wore. So I want to be more Christ-like. So that's why I'm wearing this. It's not going to help. You could come in the door carrying a big, long cross, you know, over your shoulder. So I want to be more Christ-like. We have churches that do that. You know, you can go up the steps carrying a big, heavy wooden cross. I was in Philippines, and every year they celebrated a certain feast there, and there would be people who would physically have themselves crucified, feeling that somehow they were identifying with Christ. That's not what this psalm tells. The psalm says, I hide my failures, my sins, my grief, my burdens. I hide those in Christ, and he covers them and forgives them. And it's because I can be forgiven in Jesus that I can be set free. I hide my failures in Christ. You say, well, if they're hidden, then somebody might expose them. But you see, that's where the psalm began. Because the transgression is forgiven. The sin is covered. It's not just that... It's not just that it's covered over, but the core of my sin is forgiven. God takes it away. He recognizes it. He hears it. He hears my voice. He hears my cry. He understands when I say, Lord Jesus, I haven't thought the things I should think. I've thought the wrong things. My heart has been set on myself. My heart has been set on the wrong things. Say what those wrong things are. He says, I know. I've seen your thoughts. I hear them. I follow them. I see the actions. None of it surprises him. He simply waits for us to speak those things that he may say, I forgive you. And if we have spoken them, surely the Lord will not count it as iniquity. We talked about that this morning in our prayer time as we were praying through the psalm. If we speak it, God doesn't count it. We don't speak it, God counts it. Figure out the math on that one. God can keep a pretty long record. So it's important for us to recognize, I can speak these things to God. I can confess them to God because God will forgive them. He will not hold them against me. My pain, my failures, but I have to speak it. I have to say it. So that's what I get. I get God's forgiveness. I get God's covering. That's what verse 1 says. But verse 7 tells us that I'm preserved too. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. So the preservation, it's only in Christ that I'll be preserved. I can't preserve myself. I can't even preserve my reputation. In Christ, I am preserved. Verse 7 also talks about deliverance. I don't want to keep doing these things. I confess them. And God says, I will not only preserve you, I will deliver you. I want to be delivered. I want to be delivered from the things that have bound me up. And God says, you too can be delivered from that. Verse 8 tells me the consequence of being in Christ is that we'll be instructed and taught in the way we should go. It's not an uncertain thing. It's a certain thing. I know the way I should go. God will reveal it to me. He will show it to me. He will, going back to the kids and their grandfather in the closet, He will open the door, He will part the clothes, and He will say, this is the way out. Let me let you out. Let me free you. And that's the deliverance that He gives to me. It's the instruction that He gives to me. It's the help that He gives to me. And when He gives it to me, steadfast love, verse 10, surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. So God clothes me in His righteousness. It protects me with His righteousness, not my righteousness, but His. He protects me. He surrounds me. He loves me. And I can be a dirty mess. And I am a dirty mess. But God protects me. He surrounds me. He loves me. And He loves you. What happens when that happens? Only one thing, and that's why the psalm ends this way. It brings to my voice rejoicing and joy. If you want joy, if you want rejoicing, if you want a renewed passion, take off the mantle. Reveal it to God. Stand in His presence and ask what Scripture says. Renew in me, O Lord, a right heart, that I might look at you and recognize all that I've done. And God will give to you joy. God will give to you peace. So the question that I want to end with, who are you hiding from? You can hide from me, it's okay. But you can't hide from yourself, and you can't hide from God. I'll ask you the same question I asked the kids. Where do you hide? Now, don't say it publicly because we'll all go find you there. But where do you hide? There's an alternative. Hide in Christ. And you will be blessed. Let's pray. Father, would you receive all of our attempts at hiding and help us to see them as silly, as things that have simply taken us away from you rather than things that have brought us close to you. They've kept us from receiving your blessing. Father, help us to remove the cloak of darkness and to take on to us the righteousness of Christ, that we might have your protection, that we might have your joy, we might have your love. Go with us this week. Go into our corners. Go into our closets. Find us, Father, that we might be yours. In Jesus' name.